thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Certainly enjoyed the song service this morning. We've already preached the gospel to each other in the song service, and my heart has been lifted up and praised to our God. God is worthy of all of our praise, and we know that we fall short of giving Him the praise He deserves. But no matter how good that we can sing or how good that we can't sing, God looks at our hearts this morning. And hopefully our hearts have been worshiping Him as He deserves this morning. It's good to be with you, as always. I was able to come down yesterday and go to the youth meeting at Eureka and was blessed to watch a wonderful video there and participate with them in that, and it was good to see those of you that were there and just worship the Lord in His greatness. And then had the privilege this morning of going with Brother Jamie Tucker to the radio station and speaking live on the air. Any of you that heard that, sorry, that was my first time, and a lot of nerves there, but the Lord was good, and I pray that He blessed the word to any of those that were listening. But it's good to be here and get this opportunity to speak to you out of God's Word. Sorry my family could not make it, but I have a daughter who has been sick this week and was still sick yesterday, so it's just me again, so sorry about that. But eventually, hopefully, all the family will come down and we'll take it by storm. If you will, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Last time I was here, I spoke out of Philippians chapter 3. So we're going to go in reverse and go back to chapter 1. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about having a zeal for the spread of the gospel. Having a zeal for the spread of the gospel. Let's read in verse 12 of chapter 1, starting with 12 through verse 19. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I meant to mention that Brother Andy, when he came back through, he came up and he stayed at my mom and dad's house for the day on Monday, and I went over there and got to speak to him for a little bit. And I said, well, what did you preach on? Because I don't want to go there next week and preach on the same thing. You know, people be bored with that. So he said, well, I really preached on the whole Bible. And I said, man, brother, I mean, that's just wrong. But he did tell me how he preached about salvation as of the Lord, and that he went from the beginning and showed salvation throughout the history of man. And so I was comforted by that I had something to go to, and that he didn't preach every verse in the Bible. But anyway, I had this on my heart, and so I wanted to bring this before you today. Paul says to the Philippian brothers and sisters that the things which had happened unto him had fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, the spread of the gospel. All right, so let's consider what had happened to Paul. What is he talking about? What things have happened to him? Right? He's not sitting in a castle somewhere, sipping on some iced tea, enjoying a movie, is he? That's not what he's talking about. He is in house arrest. He has been arrested, and he has been taken, and he is being held captive against his will for preaching about Jesus Christ. He has been arrested and put into what we would call prison. So he says, I would that ye should understand the things which have happened unto me, that is, being put into prison, being taken captive against my will, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So we want to look at this morning how Paul had a zeal for the spread of the gospel, and that no matter what happened to him, he had a desire within his heart to share the word with other people. And that's what all of us this morning are called to do. Not just preachers, not just evangelists. Every single born-again Christian is called to spread the word. So he begins his letter and he just is trying to encourage them in their faith. You know, they're probably worried about him and his situation. So he just writes in the first 11 verses there some encouraging words, talking about how he's praying. He's praying for them in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then he gives them that wonderful verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the wonderful persevering grace that God has given us and the preserving work of the Lord. Even it is meet for me to think of this, you of all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how I greatly long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now that's a way to start a letter. That's a way to encourage a group of people that might be worried and concerned for your welfare. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that you hope that they have joy. Tell them that you want them to be filled with love and you want them to grow in their knowledge of the Lord, that they may live a pure and holy life in your absence. That's a good way to start out a letter and to encourage them in their faith. So we see that he does that and he prays. He has that wonderful prayer for them, that they may be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So one of the fruits of righteousness which we want to be filled with is the fruit of spreading the word of God, talking to other people about the Lord. This is a fruit that we pray that we may be filled with and that we may have a passion for like Paul the apostle had. He said, I want you to understand this though. You know, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to have joy. I want you to be filled with love and with knowledge. But I want you to understand that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to know that God is sovereign over my circumstances. I want you to know that He had a divine purpose in having me get arrested. And allowing me to be arrested. And allowing me to be taken captive. Bringing me to this place. I want you to know that God was in control of that. You know, some people in the world would look at that and they would say, you know, God had nothing to do with that. He didn't want that to happen to Paul. He didn't want him to be arrested. You know, God has nothing to do with those kind of things. But I believe that God has everything to do with those kind of things. And I believe that that's scriptural. And I think that's what he's saying. I want you to understand that these things happen. They look bad. They look bleak. You might be concerned. You might be worried. You might want me to get out of this situation so that I can come back to you. But he says, I want you to understand that these things which have happened, they have happened so that the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ might be spread. They have happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. We're going to look at three things, really. We're going to look at how having a zeal for the spread of the gospel will impact the non-believers around us. We're going to look at, too, how having a zeal for the spread of the gospel will impact fellow believers around us. And thirdly, and most astonishingly, having a zeal for the spread of the gospel like Paul the Apostle can impact the world. You, this morning, if you love Jesus Christ, if you have a zeal to spread the word of God, you can impact people around the world. And it's the day and age we live in. We have even more of an opportunity than Paul did. Oh, imagine if Apostle Paul lived in our day and time. The day of information, the day of technology. How many people would he reach? I would that you understand, brethren, the things which have happened unto the, rather unto the falling out of the furtherance of the gospel. And I've got some words here that help us understand some of these things or definitions. This word fallen out, we don't use it a lot today. You know, you don't say the thing, you know, what happened at work yesterday, you know, what fell out yesterday at work. We don't usually say that. But the word means to come into or unto or has turned out for the advancement. So you might say, you know, I have come into this situation. That's what he's saying. I simply, by being arrested and being brought to the palace, this place, he says, I have simply come into God's plan. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't what he thought. It wasn't what he was pursuing, but he came into it. He says, I have fallen into, or rather the furtherance of the gospel. The word furtherance, we don't use it a whole lot today either, but it literally means progress. He says, I have come into the will of God, and the will of God is that the gospel progress and advance. It means progress and advancement. He uses it in verse 25 of Philippians chapter 1. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith. The word continue and the word furtherance are the same Greek word that's used as furtherance. So it is a advancement of the gospel. He says, the things that have happened to me have happened, rather, and I've come into them for the purpose of the spread or advancement of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Well, here, and in this case, and many other cases in Scripture, the gospel is the glad tidings of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is the good news that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. Yeah, I was waiting. The glad news, the good tidings that salvation has come for sinners, and it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. This word is used all throughout the New Testament. I mean, hundreds of times the word gospel is used. This is what their passion was about. It was about the gospel. It was about the truth, about the messages of Jesus Christ. Everybody they came in contact with, they wanted to talk to them about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. And I love when Paul's writing to the Romans, what he says. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, and you see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. This was a man who was not ashamed of his Savior. A man who was not ashamed. He would defend his cause. He would teach him no matter where he was, whether it was in the synagogue, no matter whether it was on the street corner, no matter whether it was in someone's home, no matter whether it was in the prison with shackles on his hands and on his feet. He would speak. He'd speak to the prisoners. He'd speak to the prison guards. He would speak to those, you know, as he's being transferred from one place to the other. People that are coming in, people that are coming out, he is talking to them about Jesus. A man that is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for he knows what it is. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this is the message of Jesus Christ. It is not a health, wealth, and prosperity teaching. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the truth that we are sinners, and that we don't deserve God's grace and mercy, but that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took our place, and His righteousness is applied to us, and we are saved. That is the message that we are to be sharing with others. This is what we want to have a zeal for. This is what we want to have a passion for, telling other people about this wonderful truth that we have come to see, this wonderful thing that has happened to us. So, let's see, first of all, how that having a zeal for the spread of the gospel like he did brought him in contact and had an impact on non-believers. He says, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. His zeal for spreading the gospel, it impacted non-believers. It impacted those who had not received the message of the gospel, who had not embraced Jesus Christ, who did not love God. It brought him into contact with those people, and his love for God spilled over so much that it impacted those people. He talked to everyone about it. He says, "My bond's in Christ." Okay, so he's talking about being taken captive and being in prison, so he used bonds. But he's not a slave to Rome. He is a slave to Christ. He says, "My bond's in Christ, because I am His servant, because I am His slave, and I must do His bidding." He says, "They are manifest in all the palace." You know, he's nowhere in the palace that my zeal for the gospel hasn't spread to. It's in all of the palace, just in case he didn't get that, and in all other places. So in all the palace and in all other places, and this may have been speaking about even the Praetorian Guard. So, do you think that Paul, the apostle, was ever going to get an open invitation to come and preach a message at Caesar's palace? Probably not. Do you think that the guards were going to call up Paul the apostle on the phone and say, "Hey, we want to have a gospel meeting here. Come and preach to us this message about Jesus Christ." No, I don't think so. So, the way that God sovereignly worked to get the gospel to the Caesar's palace and to the guards, he had Paul arrested, taken captive, brought him there, and used his zeal to reach those of his children that were in that place. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing how God moves in mysterious ways? How God works His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, that none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What are you doing?" Because He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful. So whatever He knows to do, He can do because He's all-powerful. It's amazing to see that. The gospel wasn't just going to be invited there, but God brought it there, and Paul the Apostle, in his affliction, in his bonds, the message of the gospel impacted non-believers around him, in the palace and in all the other places. So what about you? How do we apply this? If we have a zeal for the gospel, I believe that if it's true and if it's real, God will place us around others who need to hear the message. Do you believe that? Yes. We are put in situations, and sometimes we're uncomfortable, and sometimes we don't like it, and we know God is moving, and we know God is working, and we can see it. He is using us to tell others about His grace and about His goodness. If we really are zealous about Him and about what He's done in our lives, you know, I believe that it's a situation that cannot be helped. You know, it's like you can't avoid it. You know, you go to places, you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, you go to all different kinds of events and places, and you are around people that need to hear the message. That's just the case. You know, we live in an ungodly age, we live in an ungodly world, and a world that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. There are those that are hurting that need to hear. So, you are going to come in contact with unbelievers. The question is, are you going to speak up? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to pray every day and every night that God would give you the courage to speak up and to speak out, and He would give you the words to say, and that you wouldn't fear and that you wouldn't worry? That's the question. Lord, give us the zeal that Paul the Apostle had, that if we are taken captive, or if that we are taken to places that we never thought that we would go, that You would give us the zeal and the courage to speak up and not be quiet. You know, Paul, he could have, you know, he could been arrested, taken there, and he could have said, "You know what? This isn't fair. This isn't right. I was preaching about Jesus Christ." He could say that. "I was doing what was right. I was doing what God had told me to do, and I was taken captive for it." And he could have just sat in that prison and been quiet till he got out, and then go back to preaching, then go back to evangelizing, and then go back to witnessing. And I wonder if many of us would do that. What if we were arrested against our will? What would we do while we were in prison? Would we tell the inmates? Would we tell the guards? Would we tell all those there that God is still good? That it doesn't matter what happens to me in this life because I have been saved by His grace. And I have a hope for a future in heaven. I pray that God would give me that grace. I pray that He would. So, if we have a zeal for the gospel, we are going to impact the non-believers around us. And that may scare some of us, as it does me. You know, sometimes I just want to go to work and come home. And that pretty much be it to my day. You know, sometimes you just wake up, I just want to get done with work, or whatever it is that you do, and I just want to make it through the day. But that's not much of a day. Paul wouldn't settle for that. He would wake up every morning and pray, Lord, bring me across. Bring my path across someone else that I can talk to about the Lord. One of your children that needs to hear the message. So we need to pray for this in our life. Lord, help me to have a zeal that impacts non-believers around me. Secondly, verse 14. Not only is our zeal for the gospel being spread going to impact those around us who are unbelievers, but it's going to have an impact on believers around us. He says that many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. How about that? Not only are you going to impact those who need to hear the message, but you're going to have an immediate impact on your brothers and sisters around you. They will see the zeal inside you. They will see the courage that God has blessed you with. They will see your faithfulness in standing up, and it will give them confidence and give them courage and give them hope that they can do the same. This is so important, especially among an assembly of believers, that we see each other spreading the word and it building up this confidence that he says and this courage. Waxing confident. I mean, any of you said that this week? Waxing confident this week. No. But it means to trust or to be persuaded, to have confidence. Okay, so he's saying that many of the brothers who maybe they stopped preaching the word, maybe they stopped spreading the gospel because of what happened to me, how I was taken captive and I was put into prison. I bet that happened. Oh no, look at what happened to Paul. I better stop this. I better be secretive. We better be quiet. We better meet in dark places and away from the government authorities. Paul says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You have to be even more zealous to spread the word of God because your brothers and sisters will take courage and they will speak up more boldly. I love it. Many of the brethren, a lot of them, waxing confident, that is to be persuaded and to trust in the Lord, to have confidence that He is in control, and that if they are arrested and taken to a place, the gospel can be spread to that place. So you can't overthrow the plans of God. You can't overthrow. You cannot stop the spread of the gospel. It is contagious. It is powerful. You cannot put it out. The authorities can try. They tried. The Romans tried. They persecuted the Christians, and the more that they persecuted the Christians, the more the gospel was spread. You just see it. You see it in Acts. You see it in church history. The harder the persecution, the greater the spread of the gospel. And that would be the opposite effect of what they were desiring to do. You know, they told Paul and Silas, stop preaching about Jesus Christ. And they beat him. And they let him go. And it says, straightway they went talking about Jesus Christ. You know, it was like it gave them courage to do it more because they love to suffer for their suffering Savior. So he says, the reason that we should have zeal is not only to impact non-believers, but to encourage one another. That we may all have more confidence and more boldness to speak the word, I love this, without fear. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I have spoke the word with fear. Fear of what they think. Fear of what they're going to say. Fear of the consequences. I mean, weekly. Weekly, as I am challenged and as I am convicted to share the gospel with someone, whether it's over the phone, whether it's in person, I do it with fear. I do it with trembling and stumbling and stammering. But oh, that God would give me the zeal and the passion that Paul the Apostle had, that I would be able to do it without fear, that I would be able to do it boldly, with confidence. That should be our prayer as well. You know, we should be faithful to do it no matter what, right? I mean, if we have fear, we've got to do it. And you've got to do it to the best of your ability. But don't you want to do it without fear? Don't you want to be bold in your defense of the gospel and the spread? You know, don't you want to not be in that situation where you're battling, your mind is battling your heart? You know, Lord, I should do this, but your mind is saying, no, I just want my heart to say it and I do it. That's what I want. I think that's the way Paul was. His heart was so big that his mind never got in the way. So, our zeal for the gospel is going to impact believers around us. They're going to wax more confident. They're going to be persuaded. They're going to have boldness. And they're going to speak the word without fear of what the authorities are going to do. Thirdly, and this is just amazing, we can have an impact on the world. If we have a real zeal for the spread of the gospel this morning, it's going to go beyond just our personal lives. You know, we're going to be talking to people that we know about the Lord. We're going to be talking to each other about the Lord and you know, helping each other get more bold and more confident. But we're going to go beyond that. And you do that here. You support. And some of you have gone overseas. And you have taken the gospel message around the world. And I believe that all of us are called to do that. Whether we support, whether we pray, or whether we give, whatever it is, whether we send, all of us are supposed to take the gospel to all the world. And if you don't believe that, you turn to Matthew chapter 28. And it's taught there. And it wasn't just to the apostles, it was to all the believers. Take the gospel into all the world. All right. Well, this is what he says. You know, because of what's happened unto me, because of the zeal and the boldness God has placed within me, and because of other brothers and sisters seeing that and becoming more bold and more confident, this is what's happened. It's impacted everybody in our community. He says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. You know what this is? This is the people who were in the other camps, right? Not the Paul the Apostle camps or the disciples camp. These were the other people. And they were getting up and they were preaching Christ. But you know what they were saying? Don't follow Paul the Apostle and the disciples, because look what happened to them. They're getting arrested. They're getting thrown into prison. Do you want to get arrested? Do you want to get thrown into prison? Well, follow me and my teachings about Christ. You know, I believe in the smooth way. You know, I believe that you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can live however you want to in your life. And there'll be no consequences. That was a teaching that was going around. You know, you can believe in the Lord, but you can live any way that you want to. And the teaching is still around today, isn't it? Still around today. It won't go away. Pray that God will help it go away. You can be a Christian and live like the world? Absolutely not. Not if you believe the Bible. Not if you study God's Word. Not if you have a true, genuine zeal for the Lord and for the spread of the gospel. But it's interesting, though, because of the zeal of Paul the Apostle, because of the zeal of the other brothers and sisters in Christ, you have people who may not even be children of God preaching about Jesus Christ. It's not the true message, but they're preaching about Jesus, and people are hearing. This, I want you to follow me here, okay? Because this may be out of our box a little, and I'm having to get out of my box. He says, anyway, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. This is not the way you're supposed to preach Christ. The word contention means electioneering or intriguing for office. I mean, that's not what we're about. We're not about trying to get a name and a following, right? We're about pointing people to Christ and pointing away from ourselves. But these people, what they were doing was pointing to themselves and trying to get people to follow them. But that's beside the point, because he says that Christ is being preached. But the other of love, okay? So there's people out there. They're doing it the right way. They're preaching Christ. And they're doing it out of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. They understand Paul's situation. They're preaching the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about pain and about suffering and how it's part of the Christian life, and it's what he's called us to. And he says, that's the right way. Verse 18, what then? You know, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to think about this? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, which means a pretext or a pretended cause, an alleged reason, which is what they were about. It wasn't real. It was a pretended cause. They wanted a following. They wanted a name. They wanted money. Who knows? But it wasn't genuine. Whether in pretense or in truth, which is the way that it should be, Christ is preached. The gospel is spread. You know, and this is something that we have to acknowledge, that where God is sovereign. God does not just use you, and He does not just use me. He does not use just the Primitive Baptist Church. He uses all different kinds of people. And He uses all different kinds of institutions. And, you know, whether it is the truth that we believe or not, Christ is preached. And God's people are hearing the message, and He can use it in the way that He designs to use it. So we have to think bigger picture here, don't we? We have to broaden our perspective. We have to think bigger than ourselves, bigger than our church denomination, bigger than America. We have to think globally and how it can impact others. May not believe like us, may not share our same faith, may not come to church with us, but if we impact them, they can impact other people that we would never see. They can impact people that we would never see, so on and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? This is how we will impact the world. We will impact others, and those people will impact other people. And those people will impact other people, and you never know how far that will go. That's what Paul is saying. You know, this has stirred up people. You know, me having a zeal and it going to the palace, and the other brothers and sisters coming along and having zeal and spreading the word, well, these other people couldn't be left behind. You know, all this excitement, they had to get in. You know, we're going to preach Christ, but we're going to kind of cover it up with some other stuff. It's not the real truth, but people are hearing about Christ and the message because they wanted to be somewhat legit because they knew how Christianity was spreading. So they had the name of Christianity, but not the realness, the genuineness of it. But he says, Christ is preached. And listen to what he says. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul would rejoice that Christ was being preached, no matter who it was by, no matter how they were doing it. That's a zeal and a love for the spread of the gospel. That is true and that is genuine. Not being hypocritical. Not being judgmental. Not being narrow-minded. Disciples of Jesus were the same way. I'm not going to go there because I'll spend too much time in that text. But the disciples said, when you sent us out, we saw others. We saw others who were casting out, they were casting out demons in your name. And we forbade them because they were not followers of us. They had this idea that if they're not in our group, then they can't be doing this. You know, who told them to do this? You know, Jesus, he basically rebuked them. He said, if they are not against us, they are for us. Let them be. God is using them in his own way. That's Marvin paraphrase. All right? But it's good because we don't want to go there. We'll spend too much time on that text. I love it. But, you know, the disciples, they had this narrow-minded view. You know, Christ had sent them out with the authority. They were the ones casting out the demons. They were the, you know, the ones healing the sick. And then they saw these other people that they didn't know, and they were doing the same thing. And they said, we told them to stop. And Jesus said, no. God can use all, everybody. So, Paul rejoiced that the message of Christ was being preached, whether it was in truth or whether it was in pretense, because he had such a love for Jesus Christ. He thought, people are hearing about Christ. And sooner or later, they're going to come to hear the true message. And when they do, they're going to rejoice. So that's how we are going to impact the world. By thinking bigger than ourselves, thinking bigger than our community and just our church here, but thinking globally like Paul did. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How are you going to have zeal for the spread of the gospel this morning? How have you had zeal in the past? I don't think that you've just stirred it up yourself. I don't think that you've just had a mental exercise to say, I'm going to do better. It is through prayer and supply of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one, it's the active agent in our life that helps us be able to spread the gospel. He says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Without the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all our efforts will come to naught. We said that this morning as we sang. If the Holy Spirit isn't welcome in this place, if He isn't moving in our midst, then it's just a sound, it's just a noise. It doesn't mean anything. But if the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is there, it means everything, and it has power and it has effect. And that's what He's saying. If you're going to impact unbelievers, if you're going to impact believers, if you're going to impact the world, you have to have the Holy Spirit. And you have to pray for it each and every day. You have to be dependent on it. Do not trust in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Because we will fail. And I have failed miserably so many times because I have trusted in my flesh. And thank God He made me look like a fool. You know? I didn't like it, embarrassed. But you know, whenever I trusted in the flesh, I fail. But whenever I trust in for the supply of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, when He told the disciples to go out, He said, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't prepare ahead of time, you know. And some people have taken that and run with it. Said, you know, preachers shouldn't study and shouldn't have notes. Well, okay. But that's not the point. The point is that even if you study, even if you prepare, you've got to depend on the Holy Spirit. It will lead. It will lead in God. It will take what you have studied and what you have learned, and it will give you the words to say. And that's what you have to learn if you're a speaker or a teacher, whatever the Lord calls you to be. You have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. No matter how much you prepare, you've got to have that, or else I'll put you to sleep. So we'll see if I've had it this morning or not. So in conclusion, if you have a notebook writing down things, write down these three questions. How am I impacting non-believers? Those that I know that do not love God, who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not rejoice in the truth of the gospel, what kind of impact am I having on them? Am I having any impact on any unbelievers? Because you know that there are Christians who live their life without impacting non-believers around them. It's true. It's true. Can do it. I think God will send discipline in our life, but sometimes we don't pay attention. Because I believe God is calling to this, and He is not happy when we don't. But am I impacting non-believers? Second, am I impacting my fellow believers? What kind of impact is it? You're always impacting those around you. But am I impacting my fellow believers such a way that they are waxing more confident in the Lord and they have much more boldness to speak the word without fear? We're told in Hebrews to provoke one another to love and good works. Are you doing that today if you're a believer? Are you provoking your brothers and sisters in a good way and to love and to good works to spread the gospel? So how am I impacting non-believers? Two, how am I impacting fellow believers? And two, how am I impacting the world? And of course, when I say, how am I in all these, I'm saying, how are you through the supply of the Holy Spirit doing all of these things? We need to examine ourselves. We need to continually examine our walk with the Lord and see, Lord, do I really have a zeal for the spread of the gospel? Do I just talk about it? Do I just assent to the truth of it? Or do I really have it in my life? And is it evident? You know, I'll just be real. I don't have it yet. I'm trying. I fail sometimes and I succeed sometimes. But I do not have what the Apostle Paul had yet. Just be honest. Maybe some of you have it, and if you do, I'm so glad. I'm not jealous. I'm happy for you. Joyful for you. Those of you that don't have it, you don't give up. You persevere. Okay? Whatever you do have, here's the key. Whatever you do have, use it. Amen. Use it. Don't say, I'm not like the Apostle Paul, so let's throw it out the window. No, no, no. Use what you have. God is all powerful. He can take something so small and make it so big. So don't give the excuse that I have used so many times. I'm not this, I'm not that. God has not called me to be that. He has called me to spread the gospel, to be a witness, to be a testimony to the world. So we must be faithful to do that. So I pray all of you will have a greater zeal for the spread of the gospel and that you will bring glory to God. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.